Do you like having tough conversations with your colleagues, employees, boss, or donors? I don't think anyone does, but it is important that you have them. In today's podcast, I have our very own Karen Kendrick with special guest Brandon Campbell, who will help us figure out how to have good, tough conversations that will inspire change and honor one another, no matter how difficult the conversation.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising, so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm Jeff Schreifels, and Richard is off today, so you get me, and we have some special guests. You know, one of the most difficult parts of being on a team, regardless of your position, is having the skills and the confidence to have tough conversations. Many of us have had experience where the culture just wasn't open or was actually resistant to having people speak up about challenging topics. Knowing how to have difficult conversations and create a culture that is actually willing to learn and grow takes skill and practice. And that's why I've invited back Karen Kendrick, our Senior Director of Learning, to co-host with me for a very special interview we want to do. Karen has incredible experience in personal development training, developing emotional intelligence, and has coached many people through challenging conversations, including conversations that we get to have sometimes. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And I so appreciate that you're open to having difficult conversations. That's what makes working with you and at Veritas so meaningful, because we work on that as a culture. And we still got things to learn. So I'm so excited to have Brandon with us today. So, well, as you know, from all our years and experience as organizational leaders, having tough conversations is part of the job. And it's absolutely critical to create a culture where you can address issues like underperformance or inappropriate behavior, or where someone on your team, you know, wants to bring an issue to attention that maybe you as a leader need to hear some feedback on. You know, all of that can be challenging. So what typically happens is that we avoid these kinds of conversations, and then they fester, and they get even, you know, they get to this deeper, more damaged impact on your team. People aren't speaking up. They aren't sharing their creative ideas. You aren't able to be innovative. And then there's a culture that's not really welcoming and inclusive, and where everyone feels like they can bring their best to the table. To bring some additional insight into this conversation, we've invited a special guest to join us. Brandon Campbell runs Brandon Campbell Communications and is a DEI expert. Brandon is also an accomplished communication specialist, educator, speaker, and strategist who has worked with some incredible organizations, including the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right.
For the past 15 years, she's devoted her career to providing education on navigating cultural differences to business leaders and students alike. Thank you for joining us today, Brandon. We're so excited.
Thank you so much to you both for having me here.
Yeah.
So today, we're discussing how to have tough conversations. Brandon, I know you've walked through many challenging conversations with leaders and teams as a consultant. So I'd love to have you start us off by answering this question. What is a difficult conversation, and why is it so hard for us to have them?
It's a great question, and it points to some of what you mentioned in your introductory remarks, talking about how unnamed issues go unresolved and fester and then explode and people wind up leaving. Hard conversations are the challenges that we all sense exist. We know that they exist, but we oftentimes actively try to avoid them. It's things like, again, you mentioned that I'm a DEI expert. It's things like bias, racial bias and implicit bias, performance in terms of a manager or a team member. And it's awkward. It's not pleasant to have hard conversations. And it's really human nature to try to avoid what we know is going to to be unpleasant. And we tend to avoid those things. But when they are unnamed, when someone feels them and the feeling isn't acknowledged, think about what that feels like in a personal relationship. It's nothing is getting resolved, and it actually serves to stifle growth of individuals, teams, and organizations. So that's why it's critical to be willing to enter into those conversations, to be willing and able to do so respectfully, so that people can be and feel heard, so that issues can remain as resolved. It does no benefit to any organization to just keep things being dysfunctional, because that's the polite thing to do. That shouldn't be how we want to operate.
So as a leader, I've got someone working with me and there's some issues. Maybe they're how they're getting along with other folks. Maybe it's performance. Maybe it's, just something they're needing to do more or less of, right? Or step into more of. And what is it that I'm afraid of? Like, what is that block? What is the story I'm making up in my head that's keeping me from stepping into that?
It could be any number of things, but I love how you brought in that phrase, the story you're making up in your head, because story is really how we relate and understand one another as humans. If you're making up a story in your head, it's because you haven't heard the story of the person that you are working with, that you're needing to have this conversation with. We're at such a fascinating time in the working world, in this liminal space coming out of the pandemic, kind of, where we've had these fundamental shifts where some managers and organizations have seen that they need to actually have conversations for the first time with team members about their humanity, about how people are actually doing. So part of it isn't just about the specific conversation when there's a challenge. It's really valuing team members from the beginning, wanting to know who they are, how they operate, how they perform best. And once you have those elements of the story, then you can bring in the specific questions around where you're seeing some fall off or some challenges. But if it's just someone that you see as a machine, they're coming in and look at that, the machine isn't performing, that's not going to go well for anyone. So one of the biggest suggestions I would have for leaders is to approach these conversations with curiosity instead of judgment. Don't make up that story in your head, even though it's something we really all tend to do. Have a conversation, open the door and have some exploration to find out what could be happening in this person's life. I know that can sound really touchy-feely, but it kind of has to be. You could be making up this story when there's a really easy issue to resolve, or maybe the team member is going through something really hard. And if you can partner with them, provide some support in that one area, then you've addressed the issue. And then you're going to start seeing the productivity come back. And then you're going to have someone who feels valued because you've shown that you care about them beyond what they can do for punching numbers and having performance.
I love how you talk about figuring out the humanity part of this, how if you can understand what's happening with that person as a leader, or even if you're an employee with their boss and understanding where your boss, so essentially what you're saying is we need to have empathy. We need to walk in each other's shoes a bit and try to understand what's going on with that person. And then we can start to have some more of those difficult conversations when we can get to that point, rather than, as you were talking about, being robotic about it. But I love the idea that it has to be a little squishy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It has to be from the heart.
That's exactly right. With any team, with any really strong team, there are relationships, there is trust. So, and I love that word and I'm going to use it all today. There has to be squishiness. and empathy is exactly right. You have to have some care about this person's story, the story that's bringing them to your organization. And once you understand that introductory chapter, the foundational elements to the story, then you can figure out how you'll go about writing the rest of the book together. But you have to have that initial investment, because people don't perform well for people they don't trust and for people they know don't care about them. People leave managers. And if you look at the managerial relationship, very often, I can certainly speak for myself, times I have left positions, it is because of that relationship, because things were transactional, because my passion and energy and ideas were dismissed or viewed as a threat or what have you. There's all these elements of ego and shame and fear in what we do. And if you don't have a framework established where you have hard conversations, where there's some inherent trust and you can navigate these things together, it just turns into bitterness until someone leaves. So that squishiness is really a core element of really trying to create teams that feel psychological safety and that can really work together and grow together.
You know, there's lots of studies showing that leaders that have warmth are trusted, even if their expertise is less than leaders who have expertise but less warmth are not trusted. And so I'm kind of going back to your piece earlier, Brandon, about how we need to reach out first and check in on people, be tuned in to how they're doing, where what's happening, what their ideas are for the organization overall, create a culture that's more squishy, as we're saying. Think about, as a leader, back to the story, right? I have to be willing to hear feedback that things are not going as well as I'd like them to go, right? And not yes. believe that it's all my responsibility to fix it all. Because so, if I think I have to fix it all, I'm never going to want to hear any problems, right? But a minute ago, you said something like, you know, build this partnership and this collaboration to figure things out together. So if I'm able to come and listen, but it's not all on my shoulders to figure out, then I can be more present to what's coming up and we can figure out solutions. But I can see just not even wanting to go there, because then it's like, I'm so overwhelmed. I've got so much on my plate. I don't want to hear about more problems. I can't fix them all. You know, all that preventing me from really being present to how people are doing and where they are.
Absolutely. That is so real, those pressures. The immediate pressures that managers feel. And when they, you know, I think identifying, knowing that all of this is happening within all of us at any moment, we're very performance-driven culture, speaking broadly as, you know, American and Western culture. And no one, very simply, no one likes to hear that they're not doing something well. It's really hard not to get your defenses up. And that's where the piece of, there are a couple components there. If there can be a culture of just having conversations and continual feedback, so it's not just one time a year and the stakes are really high and you may feel attacked, but really having conversations and that piece of approaching with curiosity instead of judgment, I feel like that's actually a release valve for leaders to, okay, let me hear your feedback, what you have to say, let's explore that. Because the person may not be, very likely may not be attacking just one, you know, any single person or any single thing within an organization, but they are kind of telling you what their perception is. And you're, instead of taking it and going into that zone of shame, you mm-hmm. are just kind of listening to understand. And that piece right there, I think, is so not, yes, it's squishy, but I think it's really practical in freeing leaders from feeling like they have to fix everything, because you're hearing the full feedback. You're trying not to be defensive. You're putting your shoulders back and down and hearing what team members are saying in full. And that, if you've created that sort of opportunity for yourself as well as for the team, there are opportunities then for the team to work together to figure out how to navigate some of these pieces. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And so let's go down the path of actual difficult conversations a little bit here.
Sure.
So as a leader, I've worked on having a space for conversations about how things are going and ideas on where things can be improved. But I've got someone I need to talk to about something. They're not stepping up like they should on the team, or not feeling like they're really following through with donors, let's say, the way they should. And I need to have this conversation. And I'm not comfortable doing that. Help me sort of think through that and develop some tools and skills. And how do I approach that kind of conversation with one of my fundraisers?
Okay, that's a great, I love that we're diving into a really practical example. I think in starting to frame the conversation just for yourself as a leader, thinking about that empathy piece that Jeff mentioned, that's really important. We're looking at having this conversation and being honest really as a form of growth for the individual, for this organization. We're trying to understand what's happening. But as you mentioned with the research about leaders who have some warmth, you can come in attack mode and say, hey, you're not doing this, and this. And sure, you're saying things that are truthful, but think about what you are hoping to get from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are framing it in really wanting to understand what is happening, I think it's important to look at those metrics that you have. Is this a sudden drop off? Has a person consistently underperformed? That's helping to fill in a little bit of the narrative that you're putting together. But what are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to find out the challenges so that together you can create a plan to help the person get to the performance you need them to get to?
Or are you trying to be right? Right.
Exactly. Do you want a relationship, or do you want to be right, as I've heard it put? Mm-hmm. And that's something that you really have to think about. And I think that's a really important grounding framework in thinking about how to approach the conversation. And hopefully that can make it seem a little less daunting. One of the things I've noticed is that when people think about hard conversations, most people seem to think of hand-to-hand combat, like it's just going to be negative and awful. It doesn't have to be that way, but you have to decide what you want your approach to be. If you want to be empathetic and try to understand a certain element of the picture to get to this shared goal, it doesn't have to be a knockout, drag-down fight. And I think we avoid this label of things being tough because we think it's going to be tough and we have an image of what that is. It doesn't have to be that. So really think about how you want it to look, what the outcome you want to be is, and how it might look to get there. How would you want to be approached with this challenge? Mm-hmm. And really that, again, that piece of curiosity, again, if someone has really performed really well, but suddenly there's a drop off, there is something you want to understand there. So approaching the conversation from that angle rather than attack mode likely is going to help you understand and explore. Maybe there are some issues happening just in the industry overall that you're not aware of, but having that curiosity to understand is going to help you get to that outcome better than just attacking a person.
One of the things in my training is around how I show up for a conversation. If yes. I'm warm and present, then that invites the other person's nervous system to be more calm, and it helps the whole conversation. So yes. Some of this is, you know, we get nervous. We think it's going to be difficult. We go into fight and flight. Like, how do we use some breath, some tools, and I have some tools and tactics. I want to hear yours before I share mine, to bring ourselves to the conversation in a warm and present, calm place. And then as the conversation goes along, we're going to get triggered, right? We're going to have things that happen most likely. And how do we keep bringing ourselves back to that space? Because it doesn't mean every conversation is going to be perfect and easy, but it gives so much more space for possibility and partnership when you can come in that space, right? So what kind of things do you talk to people about? And then I'll share some of my tricks and tools that I've learned through the years.
Sure, absolutely. And that's such a great way to lay it out. It's so much in your approach to the conversation. I really recommend people try to, throughout the conversation, pay attention to, and it's very tricky at first, it can be, you know, I'm saying pay attention to your breath and also pay attention to the person, and people can be like, I can't do all of the things. but I encourage people to be just aware of their stature and their body language, because when we are, again, if we label it tough and think it's going to be this tough thing, we tend to physically tense up, our shoulders go up, really try to roll your shoulders back, have them down, take a deep breath, have a stance of a non-combative physical stance. And then I encourage them to, and we don't do this well as a society, to really sit to listen. To understand, not listen, to react. And even that gives you some space to sit in that breathing and that body language, hear what the person is saying, and not get defensive. You may be feeling that, but you're purposely staying quiet to fully hear what the other person is having to say. So it gives yourself some time. And again, being mindful of, are you going into attack mode, fight or flight, or are you really letting the person fully say what they need to say, taking that in, and then giving yourself some time to process and react? So that's one of the suggestions I give to my clients.
And the cool thing here is we're not talking about sitting down with someone who's not performing, and then they tell you all the reasons why they're not performing. And then you go, okay, we're not talking about that.
Not at all.
We're talking about really listening, being curious. And maybe there's some pieces there that really need to be addressed, or they don't know how to use something or do something, or they're not getting information they need or tools they need. And however, you can still in a calm and present way, really hold clear boundaries for people. And say, and be able to speak into, I hear that. And so how are we going to get to this place? Because this is a place we need to get to. So let's figure that out together, because we can no longer stay where you are right now. So a couple of tools that I have been given is, you spoke about breath. And one thing that's really helpful is when you take some deep breaths, when you're breathing out, think of something that makes you smile. And let yourself smile just a little bit. And that brings in that oxytocin, kind of helps you kind of calm your whole system down.
Yes.
A couple other tricks that are fun is, if you have you can put a basket on the table and imagine everything you're saying and they're saying is going into the basket. And then you can sort of observe it. Something about that trick helps you kind of get some distance from the conversation.
Yeah, I like that.
Be able to contemplate. Another trick is to bring a posse member, like imagine someone who's really good at having these conversations. For me, it's like Gandhi or Nelson Mandela, and they're like there doing it for me. And for some reason that trick helps me, like, oh, you know, this is possible to do this in a really warm and present way. So all these kind of little funny tricks actually help us get out of that triggered space, fear space, and be able to bring us back, and practice these things when you're not in the most difficult conversations, I would advise.
Yeah.
Start using them and playing with them.
I love all these practical applications on how to do this. This is really cool. I think but before we have to wrap up, my question to you, Brandon, would be, let's step back a little bit. How can leaders, and fundraisers, how can they help create a culture of openness so that these kind of conversations can happen in the first place? So overall, how do we do that?
That is such a great question. And that's so important to being able to foster these sorts of conversations on an ongoing basis. It's a practical way to approach it is actually an opportunity that's been presented by this time of so many of us having to be on Zoom all of the time.
Yeah.
Because elements of the way we communicate are strained or different because of video conferencing, we have to be really intentional, hopefully, in how we communicate and the ways that we communicate. So very often I've been in meetings where there are some, and when I lead meetings, there are group agreements that are specifically enumerated. And I think that's a wonderful practice to have, whether that is in person in an office setting, if you're in an office, or via your conversations with remote employees. Yeah. And it is something that can be and should be co-created, but really thinking about and having a conversation about what are the ways where you thrive in having conversations? How do you feel most safe in having a conversation? That may be for some folks, they may want to be off video. You may think it's, I need to see your face, but for, you know, not everyone is an extrovert. Not everyone responds well that way. Maybe some people, to give their best, they're off video, for instance. Yeah. But creating some specific ground rules about how folks will communicate so that people have an expectation of what will happen each time there is a group meeting, so that there is an expectation of safety. You know, you can say there's no shouting, there are no raised voices. If we have a question, this is how we present it. Really thinking it through in detail and talking it through. And especially if it's a remote setting that you tend to have most often with employees, think about the times and the meetings that you thought were facilitated really well, or a meeting where you found yourself feeling safe to contribute, to explore, to innovate, and talk to your team about bringing some of those elements to your group meetings and really having those enumerated, and not something that just lives on a wall or is in your employee handbook, but mm-hmm. is something that is discussed each and every time people get together.
Yeah. That's really good stuff. I just want to thank you so much for all the great insight and the tips we've talked about and helping people, our listeners here today, develop the skills in this area. Well, before I wrap up our conversation, Brandon, I want to make sure that our audience knows how they can connect with you and learn more about your services.
Sure. Well, thank you. It has been such a pleasure to speak with you today. You can find me. My website is brandoncampbell.com. Brandon is spelled B-R-A-N-D-Y-N, and Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. You can visit me on the website and read about my services and book a consult. I'm also on LinkedIn. Feel free to connect with me there and reach out. I would love to connect with you there.
Awesome.
Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And to our audience, I hope you check out Brandon's website. And thank you for listening today. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.